The following KOPN podcast is made possible by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please consider a donation to listener-supported community radio, KOPN. You can donate securely on our website at kopn.org.
Welcome to Thought Crime Radio. This is Janelle. I'm in downtown Columbia, Missouri, where it's very, very humid. If you haven't been outside, if you're not here, Missouri is very humid. I have a really good show for you today. I'm in the studio this summer flying solo. Rich is taking a break, and my other co-host, Janice Barcelo, is not with me because she's actually in Chicago on her way to Missouri to be here for 3 weeks. She'll be live in the studio 2 weeks from today. I've been talking for a while now about a case that I've been following, a family that lives in California. I know this mother from Human Milk for Human Babies. She's a huge advocate for breastfeeding, as I am. She's a part of this global network that we promote here on, or introduced to the world here on KOPN back in October. She was one of the California representatives helping to connect women with other women so that their babies could have milk, sharing breast milk. So she's a huge advocate of breastfeeding. And I've been following their case for about a year. A year ago in May, this family was, a knock came to the door, and it was CPS, and this family did not let them in because they did not have a court order. This family is one of the families that we've been talking about on our show for a while that are doing the things that we believe are really important to do, and that is the natural, healthy, empowered birth for the mother, baby, and the father. They have unassisted births at home, which means they take total responsibility for their baby and for their health, and they prepare, and they're educated, and they have the resources in case something goes wrong, but they take responsibility. That's the point. And this father, Jeffrey, is a man who believes in sovereignty, and he's a modern homesteader. They've lived sustainable. They live by their faith, and they are healthy with their children, emotionally, behaviorally, with food. There's no reason for what has happened to them, and they are going to join us today. They both were in jail for 2 months. They just got out last week, and they're trying to get their kids. I have an update that they have actually got to see their kids today, and it's heartbreaking. They were acquitted of obstructing the police officers who came into their house, broke down their door, and beat up the father to the point he had to be hospitalized, and then he was jailed for 2 months. This was a year ago in May, and this has continued, and a few months ago, they were arrested on charges related to this, and I'm going to let them tell the story, but I wanted to make sure that you knew that this is a story that we've been talking about and kind of give you the update. They were released. They were acquitted. The courts found that the police department, they did not obstruct the police department, and they're going to continue to pursue lawsuits about being their door being broken down. You might wonder, why would they do that when CPS comes to your door? And it's because that's your right. You don't have to let CPS in. CPS is one of the systems that we've been talking about here for 2 years that is a result of disempowering families at the beginning and being a long arm of the law where they can come in and take your children for no reason. And yes, there are children who need to be protected, but those children aren't being protected either. Children in CPS are 600% more likely to be killed. They're 16 times more likely to be abused. And we're going to talk to them today about their first visit with their children after 2 months. These children who have, there's a breastfeeding baby who is taken from the mother, two toddlers who are breastfeeding, no consideration for this woman who is breastfeeding three children, and suddenly she has no children at her breast, and this baby who deserves to have milk. A human baby deserves to have human milk anytime, anywhere, for any reason, whether it's nourishment or nurturing. A human baby needs to have human milk. And so here's this baby who's taken away from his mother. And I'm talking fast because I want to get this sort of all this out there so that we can bring them on. I'm not sure. I think Eric is on the line with me. Hi, Erica. Are you on the line?
I am.
Hey. Welcome.
Hello, Danielle.
Welcome to the show. I just, on behalf of everyone, I just want to tell you how sorry I am that this has happened to you.
Thank you for having me.
And, you know, this, the thing is like, this can happen to anybody. And that,
yes, yes. It can, and it does. As I've seen these past couple of months, it happens all the time. And, I want to say, too, that I think that I don't have any grudges, or I feel that police and agencies like Child Protective Services are needed. I think that they do serve a purpose, but in our case, I don't feel like my children's needs are being met. And that's part of what I wanted to talk to everybody about today.
All right.
My youngest child, Elijah, he was exclusively breastfed when he was taken from my arms, which means that he has no other source of nutrition. He doesn't take a bottle of any kind. He doesn't eat sort of, finger foods or anything like that. And he was only about 8 months old at the time. So it's pretty common for babies at that age to just have breast milk. So,
very common.
Yeah, the shock for him, I think, is the greatest. I saw him today. He is, they have him on formula, which we've specifically requested that he not be, and his head is swollen twice its size. He has sores around his mouth and nose, and he has blisters in his diaper area, covered in red blisters. He's actually bleeding, and he's not doing well. Poor thing. It just broke my heart to see him, and I spoke with the agency that I met with, and they had no idea of any of the things that we had asked of the court, that the court had ordered. They had no idea about the immunizations. They had no idea about, because we don't immunize our children. They had no idea about the breast milk, and they were asking about, how the child is diapered, because he said we can't put him in any diapers, and I said, well, he was cloth diapered in EC, and they don't even understand what that is. So it's been really a hard day for me to see the kids like that.
Right, and that just happened today, so you're pretty raw, and I really want to just hold you with love as you're telling us. I mean, it's got to be horrific.
Yeah.
I mean, any parent out there can't even imagine somebody coming in, police and caseworkers coming in and just taking your child out of your arms and putting them in a situation that creates such unhealth and trauma for them, because these children are not in that condition.
Right. And when they had come in too, in the beginning, when they took the children, they had separated me across the room from the children, and my baby Elijah and my 2-year-old, who I breastfeed, were crying for me because they were scared. And I kept begging the officers to let me nurse them, to calm them. And they said, no, you can't touch those children. And I just knew at that point that it was going to be really bad, I knew that our family was going to go through a lot of trouble. And I knew that those 4 children were not going to get the care that they need and they deserve, And that my cries of as a mother were going to fall on deaf ears, and that has been the case.
And who does
to everyone
this?
That I cry to, they I'm put into a category with as a common criminal and not as a mother, you know, and not as a wife, not as a woman of God, not as a human being, you know. And
no regard,
it's very hard.
No regard for these children, that this is their mother. They're not just taking a mother away from a child. They're taking children away from a mother, the only person that they've known. And in a particular, your children, because you guys have chosen to do attachment parenting, meaning there's one of you
right.
with them at all times. They're breastfed,
right.
they're carried, they're gently parented, and now they're taken by
Yes.
strangers who come in their home. Like, what is going on, people, that our police officers do this to a family? Even if there is abuse, like, it's wrong. It's just wrong. Even an abused child will want the comfort of the mother that loves them. It's like, it's bizarre. We have to stop this. I'm so sorry. I mean, when you describe that, like, any mother out there, when my son was 23 years old and went to Iraq, I
yes.
unraveled that year, and I felt this is my baby. And any mother out there, she
yes.
might be 80 and have a 50-year-old, it's your baby. And when you're
yes.
I felt similar. I mean, I'm not even putting it in the category of what you're talking about, but that concept of this system had my child, and I couldn't go to him. I couldn't contact him. Nobody would tell me anything.
Right. And it is. It is the same, that ripping, you know, the ripping away from your child, and it doesn't matter what age they are. Well, for me, you know, I can't imagine that making a difference, you know.
Well,
I
think if any of us imagined having our 8-month-old baby and our 2-year-old and then your other children, there's 6 children that ranged up to, is it 8 or 9 years old?
Yes, my daughter is 8 years old.
I mean, you know, there are people out there listening who get all outrageous when they see the images of our U.S. troops in the homes of Iraqi civilians, and we should be outraged. But I just want to tell
yes.
you, think about what's happening with CPS, because it's the same scenario. What happened to Jeffrey and Erica Henderson's children in Pasadena, California, because of a bogus hotline call that somebody made, they came in and they beat this man in front of his children and separated the children across the room and would not let the mother and the child be together, would not let the mother of this baby support that baby. I mean, we need to look at home and what's going on here. And
yes,
and I've been supporting you and, you know,
I appreciate it.
All along the way that to make a case of this, because
right.
this
and I wanted to say, you know, I think that, you know, we're talking about DCFS, but I think they're needed for a small percentage of our population, but I feel like this is a government agency that has really gone out of control. And you know, I wanted to clarify too that over this course of this past couple months, that, you know, so the listeners know that although my husband and I were arrested and our children taken from us, that we were falsely arrested, and since then our charges have been dismissed in court, in criminal court. But the problem that we're having now is that this, now that my children are in the system, in the DCFS system, this means nothing to them, you know. And although we have shown them that the charges have been dismissed, we still can't get our children back, you know, even though we were innocent of the charges. So that's sort of the barriers that we're facing right now. And we're being told that it's a process, you know, that we just have to go through and, you know, we just have to wait. So I think there are some changes that's got to be made in these systems. And even like you say, you know, even if there are problems within the family, this isn't the right way to go about it.
Mm-mm. No. And
it's really true.
And I need to let people know that my previous career was for the last 20 years, for 20 years from 1985, was working in the systems and peripheral programs with these systems and always trying to help people within the systems to make the system work. And the system is broken. The system
is
broken. The help.
And a lot of people talk about, you know, that it's because it, you know, needs more finances. And
no.
I don't necessarily think that's see the problem, you know. I don't think that throwing money at something is a solution at always.
Well, you're a perfect
example.
And I think
this is one of those cases.
Yeah, you're a perfect example. Like, look at the money that's been spent on foster care, and there's a good chance, because you guys choose not to engage with the medical community, that they saw all kinds of medical professionals, and it is a big money maker.
They have, indeed. We found that out today.
It's a big money maker, and that's what people need to know. And it supports a large population of low paid, often low functional people at the bottom, at the front lines. A lot of times people are almost there themselves, and
I've seen that.
Yeah, and it's very, very tragic. And the people go in caring, but it's just like other systems. It's a money making system, and you have to do what the system wants you to do, and there are all these rules and regulations, and people end up not helping. And even, I mean, you know, like, you could get counseling right now to get your children back, but they're going it's so bizarre. It was so bizarre as I watched it, like, in a situation like yours where the child comes for a counseling session, they haven't seen their parents for 3 months, and then what are you going to do in an hour that helps this family? Nothing.
Then
they come and take the child again. I mean, this has happened where the child didn't even know that it was just a counseling session. She thought she was going home with her mom, and she just lost it when the caseworker came back to get her, because nobody told her. You know, it's really tragic, and you're in it. And I want to call upon our culture, and I know that you have a lot of people supporting you all over the country, and I hope they get
to hear
this eventually.
We've been so blessed.
And there's a couple of organizations that help families with CPS, and, you know, I'm going to keep following this and, you know, have you come on as often as you want to and need to keep people updated. I think whatever community you're in, this is important, because it's happening. It's happening in your community. It's happening in our community right here.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, too, one thing that I wanted to get out there is that people, you know, I've been asked a couple of times, you know, over the past couple of days, well, what can we do? And I know that it seems like such a simple solution, but I think what we can do is love each other more. And I think that when they asked Messiah, you know, what can we do? That's what he told us to do, that we love each other, and that we love one another, and we give to one another. And I think that if everyone would take the time to do that, in all of those little situations when we, you know, want to ignore those people or those times that we reach out to each other. And I just think that if people practice those acts of kindness, you know, that would help things so much.
If we just did that every day.
Every day. And if we all were able to give what we had to each other, you know, then we wouldn't have needy families, you know, and if we did have families in these situations, we could take care of them, you know.
You really amazed me that this is what you're talking about today. I think if I were in your situation, I would just be a screaming lunatic.
You know, I've thought about it, and at times I consider it like today, you know, I just wanted to just you know, yell at these women there. And what I thought was, you know, what's that going to do for me, for my children, for you know, for any of us? And I think the cosmic principle that I've sort of learned this past 2 months is that all we have, the only power that we have in life is the choice that's right in front of us at this very moment. You know, there isn't a past. There isn't a future. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's only what we do right now. And if every action is one of love and kindness, then it will make a difference. And I just really believe that. And I know that it seems odd, but this has really made that stronger for me. And also, I want to give glory to God that this is all His doing, and that we've come out of this the way we have, and that we are alive and able to enjoy every day, and that even that my husband and I are back together. And all of these things are from God's glory, and I just wanted to make for sure that that people understand how good God is, and if we just remember that, it's so much easier to love one another.
Well, you're very kind. I hope that people really take to heart what you're saying when it comes from such a place of hurt and harm right now, where you've just seen your babies for the first time in 2 months, and these are not even people that are taking care of your children, right? You don't even
know. They're not.
You don't even. I mean, I just can't imagine, because I, like, with my younger two, there were no caregivers for 2 years because we felt that was important, and I'm just outraged for you, and I'll probably like cry a bucket of tears for you tonight, so maybe you don't have to cry so many, because I just can't imagine how hard that is.
I have, and I will, but it's very hard. My 3-year-old Joshua, he did not speak. He has a full vocabulary, completed sentences, and we couldn't get him to speak for the 2 hours that he was there, and so it's very hard. I don't know, I can only gauge by them how they're being treated by what I see, and I think that they're very afraid and they're very confused, and basically they are poorly cared for, and I don't know how to fix those things, but I know that maybe some people are listening, maybe they would, So.
And do you want to give people an address, like a website? I know there's a website where people can donate. I wanted to let people know. I want to make sure that people know that as a result of this May of 2010 event, where they came in to investigate an anonymous call that was later found unsubstantiated, meaning there was no abuse. This has all happened because of that. And so...
Yes.
So in the meantime, I kind of lost.
Yeah, we lost our home while we were in jail. My husband and I, due to circumstances, and
you've lost your belongings.
We lost all of our belongings, except for our vehicle. We still do have a vehicle, which we were very grateful for, because we got to sleep in it last night.
I understand that there's somebody donated today, so you're going to be in a campground tonight and have hot shower.
Yes, we are, in showers.
I'm getting goosebumps, because this is just so outrageous. This was an event that happened a year ago, and
that's right.
And Jeffrey, you and Jeffrey... filed something? You guys were suing?
Right, we filed a claim with the city of Pasadena, which is a claim for damages, which means that we plan on suing Pasadena for the damages that our family suffered, physical damages, punitive damages, all of those things. About three weeks to a month after we filed we started filing these a series of paperwork, is when they came to our home and arrested us on these charges.
So we
do feel like it's partly in retaliation. And it was mentioned in the prosecution's case against us. While they were arguing their case against us, and it was their opinion that we had sort of planned this whole thing, and in order to sue the city. So they are aware. I say that to say that they are aware. They were aware of our plans. That is what it is. I think they were trying to protect sort of themselves. And if you put the people in jail that are filing the papers, there's really, not much they can do.
No,
but yeah, as a result of all of this, we are homeless for now, and sort of living out of the van and camping when we can. We do have a website that it has a link to a PayPal link, and we do have a PayPal card. And people have been so generous with us. And I understand how things are, and people have just been putting $2 or $5, little bits, and it's all added up to the point where we can almost make it on a daily basis. You'd be surprised how little it takes. You know, one meal and a place to sleep are, you know, really all that's needed. And our website is www.sovereignparty.com. It's SOVEREIGNPARTY.com.
Sovereign Party.
And my husband and I are involved in the sovereign movement, and basically that we believe that as citizens of this great country that we have the right and privilege to exert our rights as written in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And part of those things are that we are secure in our persons from search and seizure, and that we are we have the right to remain silent, all of those things. And you know, so many people might say, well, look where that got you. But on the other hand, I think it's gotten really bad. And if people don't do this, it's going to continue to do worse. And I hate that they made an example of our family, but I sort of love it too, because I think that we're really strong and we're going to make it through this. And I hope that people see that from this, that it still is a right in this country, that when the police do come to your door, that you don't have to open the door. And that's what our criminal case is all about, and that's what the judge said with the final findings. He said that that is in fact the case. So you know, there still is justice in this country, and we're here to speak to that.
Well, you know, I our show has been looking at thought crimes and mind control, and how that begins at birth when we disrupt human beings and we take control. And you guys are just a perfect example, and I see it a lot with home birth families and people who take responsibility for their bodies and their babies' births and their children. Mm-hmm. Is that they're And they do the research, and they start to look at the vaccines. We've talked about vaccines last week. We talked about some of the ingredients that are in vaccines. I mean, we've talked about all of these things, and breastfeeding and circumcision and cord clamping and all of the obstetrical abuse and the nervous system development of the baby when they're coming out, and how when you separate the mother-baby, you know, you impact the baby-mother relationship. We've talked about all that, and you guys, to me, are just such an example of this is what happens. There's somebody out there that does not want us to be empowered, does not want us to be responsible and to be free. And I hope that the community and the country rally around and support you to make accountable this Pasadena, the city of Pasadena and the state of California. I mean, they've wasted a lot of money on
and
on
harming. They're going to be wasting some more. We've had an attorney take over our lawsuit, and two attorneys actually, and we are suing the city of Pasadena, the Pasadena Police Department, and the Los Angeles County Sheriff in quite a large lawsuit. So.
And I'm. You want to tell us why you're doing that? It's obvious to me that the somebody made an anonymous call, and I don't know if Jeffrey's going to come on or not, but I have mentioned this if viewer or listeners heard the show before, that that you believe it was a hotline call made by a neighbor who you'd actually want to...
Yeah, actually, after the trial, we know exactly who it was because she testified in trial. So, yes, those facts were made aware to us. As part of the trial. And the defense's case, or the prosecution's case, was not that the call resulted, you know, the investigation of the call did not result in any child abuse. There's no child abuse found, and the prosecution didn't, the prosecution's case. Prosecution's case was that we endangered our children by not opening the door, and because the police used the battering ram to enter our home, and that action by the police was actually a child endangerment in our part. But in order to prove that that was had to they had to prove that we indeed did obstruct the officers, and they couldn't prove those things. So yeah, the call was from an anonymous caller at the time, but she was a neighbor of ours that we've been having problems with, and it wasn't the first call of hers by her to social services. It wasn't.
Is that the person that you'd won a small claims court against?
That was another neighbor, but they were friends, and there was sort of a love triangle situation happening there with the boyfriend of one, and sort of back and forth. And
and you were
I'm not sure exactly how it all plays out, but there was two households involved. And and even in the testimony, they said that, you know, they had gotten a call, you know, from one of the neighbors. So it was as a result of a neighborhood problem.
Wow, and you know that's such a huge problem where people don't talk to each other anymore to work out their problems. They just call the police.
Yes, and I actually feel really bad for this woman. She didn't want to come testify, and she said that numerous times. And She didn't have a big testimony, but what I did get from her is that they sort of forced her to be there, and I felt really bad for her. And this call isn't her. This thing that happened isn't her fault. I think it was the fault of Pasadena, the city of Pasadena, who doesn't train their officers. Number one, in the very constitution that they take their oaths on as officers, and number two, to handle families in these situations sort of with kid gloves, you know, and make sure of things before they take such drastic actions. And I think you asked me why we're suing, and I think that's why. Because I think maybe this can be an example, and you know, we're just the folks for it, you know?
Well, you know, it's so easy to use the word blame and to blame her and blame them and blame you, blah, 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 blah. But the thing is, it all boils down to responsibility and responsibility
right.
between people. And, you know, that woman has a responsibility to not misuse that state protective services.
And, I agree.
And the police have their responsibilities, and we have our responsibilities. And
right.
And there's...
And you're right. It does boil down to those small personal interactions, you know? It really does.
And even now, like, when you... You know, what if you were a family that really needed support, like you're struggling, and oh, thank goodness, somebody's gotten the attention for us, and now we can get help. It doesn't happen in the system. It's not a system that treats people kindly. You're treated like a criminal, just as you guys are treated like a criminal, where you can't even see your own children right now. And all the excuses of being overworked and the caseload, well, yeah, you know, use the system judiciously.
Right.
And then you won't have all these people having their children stolen. If you go on the website, anybody listening, and just start Googling CPS, it is shocking, the organizations out there that are trying to help people who've lost their children. And I have met so many people online, women that I've known, who tell me that they've lost a child this way. It's just shocking. And and those children are really traumatized, and
they are.
And
they
as
are.
A society, we are perpetuating something. We're perpetuating a lot of trauma and drama rather than finding ways to really help families who are in need. And
great.
I'm gonna take a little break here. I don't know if Jeffrey's gonna come on, or is it just
I'd like for him to come on. I'd just like to give a phone number if somebody would like to call, you know, if they're going through something similar and they'd like support, or if anybody has any information or help for us as well. If I can give my phone number, I'd like to.
Go ahead if you're
okay. It's area code 3. Oh, we'll be all right. It's 323, area code 799-5179.
So you're willing to help other people right now when you're just in the midst of such
I don't know
drama.
What else I could do, you know?
It does help. It does help. And the videos of them breaking down the door is there on my website, theothersideoftheglass.com, if people want to go see that. And on Facebook.
We love your movie.
Aw, thank you. So let's take a break and then we'll be back.
Okay.
Some of the funds for this program are brought to you by Ragtag Cinema, Columbia's premier art house movie theater. More information regarding showtimes and tickets available at 443-4359 or at ragtagfilm.com.
Let's blow the whistle on evil thoughts.
On KOPN, Columbia.
Love women and the music they make, then tune in to World Woman Sundays from 5 to 7 p.m. only on your community radio station 89.5 FM, KOPN, Columbia.
What hope for a generation?
This is KOPN 89.5. You're listening to Thought Crime Radio, Voices for the Human Rights of Babies. This is Janelle. I'm in the studio in downtown Columbia, and I have on the air with me Erica Henderson from Pasadena, California, telling her story of her children basically being kidnapped by CPS after being wrongfully arrested and acquitted of that. She and her husband are joining us from California. I'm not sure who's going to be joining us. Erica's been talking, and I was hoping that if Jeffrey wanted to have a word, that we could have you on.
Who's Jeffrey the? Is here.
Hey, Jeffrey. So good to hear your voice. I am so sorry about what's happened
to you. Thank you so much, Janelle. And I just want to say, without, you know, getting too emotional, I saw the babies today. They're alive. I mean, really, you know, that's the best I could hope for. Some crazy things went through my mind when I first held them, you know, maybe I could grab them and, you know, head on up the freeway, you know, but, you know, it's just things that are going through my mind. I'm going to do this the right way. I'm going to get these babies back. The right way is not the way they treated me, but it's the way I'm going to get them back, though.
Absolutely. I have chills when you're saying that. I mean, I don't know how, as a father, so many times this happens to women who are alone, and to be the man that I know that you are from my interactions with you guys and understanding who you were and your life is just, and you know, being a man who is an unassisted birth father, like, that's the ultimate responsibility. And I just know that every fiber in you wanted to grab those babies and, wow.
Well, you know, I support my wife 100%. You know, when I first got to know her and we were courting each other, I didn't understand, you know, the whole, you know, the natural, the lifestyle and stuff like that. But I trust her. I trust her knowledge. I back her up 100% on that. But one thing I did understand about, you know, what she has taught me is, you know, I've always been wary of large government, you know, just because of the fact that it's hard to keep an institution honest if it has unlimited funding. I mean, you know, just the basic facts, you know, and the fact that, you know, this DCFS has gotten so large and so powerful that, you know, not only are they taking children that need help, but now they're starting to reach in to other homes that, you know, are just based on an anonymous tip, not even anything that has any foundation. You know, there's a big difference in the law between, you know, reasonable suspicion and probable cause, but, you know, unless we start learning as citizens or as sovereign Americans, unless we start learning what the difference is between, you know, the laws that protect us and the laws that don't protect us, we're going to fall prey to this. Now, I just want to say one more thing to everyone out there that's trying to live free and trying to break loose of the government chains. Don't look at my case as, you know, as a deterrent. Please, we gotta keep up the fight. You know, if I had to do it all over again, it's hard for me to say I'd do it the same because I see those babies' faces today and it was really tough, you know, but, yeah. You know, hopefully with this lawsuit, it's a bigger deterrent for these people. You know, I mean, you know, my children, you know, hopefully they won't have to worry about going to college, but it's not the reason why I did it. The reason why I stood up for our family's security and our safety is because it's what's right. You know, Janelle?
Right. You have a right to have your home back. You have a right to have a home for these children that was lost for no reason. We're just caught in this trap, you know? I mean, at the very least, you deserve to have a home so you can have your children home. So, you know,
well,
I really like...
Nico Rocha, I'll give him my plug. He's the attorney that came in and just turned our life around where I was, you know, I was fighting myself with what little knowledge I could learn from the internet. I was fighting myself all the way to Supreme Court of California. I'm fighting our case, but, you know, we got nowhere until we met this guy Nick Arocho, who took on the case, you know, pro bono, and he's taking on the civil case, and you know, it would be nice to have a home again, you know.
Well, thank goodness for that, because that is one of the problems when CPS comes in and then you're not, you know, especially for you guys, you're put in jail, you can't work, you suddenly, like, your house, your belongings are just in someone else's control and they're gone. You know, you don't have the money to hire an attorney and you're devastated. I like to keep putting one foot in front of the other is a challenge. Like what you guys are doing right now is just, I want people to know how desperate and how sad this is. Like, you guys are living in a van from day to day so that you can be in the area to get any chance to see these children that...
Well, also too, Janelle, I don't know if you know this part of it, but our rent was paid up. We had a year lease with our landlord. He unlawfully moved everything out of our place. I mean, we still have legal rights to that place, and he thought, like a lot of other people who stole money from us, he thought we were washed up. You know, I mean, and who could blame his thought process? You know, I blame him for stealing from me, but most people who have, you know, Child Protective Services come to their house and police officers drag them off. I mean, usually that means it's over, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, he's just protecting himself. It's sort of everybody looking out for themselves instead of how Erica was talking about, is how we need to start reaching out to each other and loving each other and supporting each other. And in a neighborhood like that, people will just...
She's teaching me. I'm still learning about that love thing, you know?
Well, you guys have quite a learning experience here. I tell you, you're going to be masters in it by the time you get through this. It's just tragic.
I thank you so much, Janelle. And before you kick me off of your show, I just want to thank the community on the internet. It's wow. It's blowing me away. This giving thing. It's just, you know, I cannot explain how the $20 here and, you know, the $5 there, how that, you know, it just affects me so much. I don't know how I'm going to repay these people, because, you know, it's what's kept us going right now, you know?
Well, I know that you'll pay it forward for one thing, but as you proceed through this system and fighting for your rights and your children's rights, you're gonna pave the way for other people to not go through this, and probably pave the way for the children and parents who do need the services of Child Protective Services to get what they need.
I'm not pointing fingers at Child Protective Services and saying, you know, and their courts, they have their little special courts, and saying that, you know, they're inherently evil because they messed up in my case. I totally understand that it's not common for someone to take a case to trial and win without it even going to the jury. I know that's uncommon to be found constitutionally innocent. I don't know who's ever done that, but thank God, you know, that judge ruled that way on us, because it's even better than not guilty. It's like saying, why did you guys even bring these charges to people? And now
exactly.
What do I have to do? Do I go and get my kids from DCFS? No, it doesn't happen like that. I'm a part of their system now, and that needs to change, you know?
Yeah, what's alarming about that system, from my experience, is that they'll separate families, and then, like, your son that's three that's not talking, they will attribute that to the parents, rather than being in a traumatic experience where they've been separated from their family and they're with strangers. Or they,
absolutely, Janelle. I mean, while I'm sitting there with my children, an innocent man, and I'm trying to get my son, my three-year-old, to come to me, and, you know, I could see the lady over there, you know, scribbling, you know, ferociously in her book.
Exactly.
And I know what she's scribbling. But it's got nothing to do for his love for me. It's got to do with, he doesn't even know who I am now. I mean, 2 months, that's an eternity for a three-year-old.
He knows who you are. He's in shock. And they will judge families based on that. That's why they're taking notes. And I want to let people know, too, that earlier when I talked to Erica today, she said that the foster agency is a non-English speaking agency, so you were even having trouble communicating with them about the kosher foods that your children have been raised on and the needs of the baby. You can't even communicate with these people who have your child because of the language
barrier. And you know, God bless the Latino and the Hispanic community, but I know that it's possible for us to have gotten an agency closer to where we live and you know, closer to downtown Los Angeles or even Pasadena, where this case started, who speaks English, because I'm not bilingual. You know, I've always wanted to learn another language, but to send me up to Palmdale and with an agency that, you know, that's ESL, I mean, come on.
Well, that's a whole other show, and I know that there are some people who would really take that when, like, all of a sudden, here in Los Angeles County, a white couple with white children are put with an agency that only speaks Spanish, and so they can't even communicate.
I mean, let's turn it around.
It's really...
What about a proud, you know, cultural Hispanic family who has to go to an all-white agency with all white children. I mean, there's culture here. We're destroying culture with this whole diversity thing that was supposed to, in the first place, diversity was supposed to, you know, enrich culture, but it's breaking it down.
Well, it definitely is. And you have about 4 minutes if you have anything burning that you really want people to know about this case.
You know, you're the expert on this. I'm just a rookie on this this talkie box here. I'm going to let you tell the story. And
well,
thank you so much for
being
with us and getting the news out there. Thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you, Jeff. And again, the bottom of my heart, I am so sorry. And you're in my prayers. And I'm connecting with people all over the country to continue this fight to help you guys to get your kids back and get a home.
Well, you know, we're up here at the campground today, and tomorrow, you know, we're going to get some visits on Wednesday.
And so, do you want to give people your website again?
Sovereign Party. Sovereign as in king. We're all kings in this country. And our website is sovereignparty.com. And if anybody wants to call me, maybe someone out there is listening that has another radio show, or has some kind of outlet that they want to help get the word out, it's 323-799-5179. Thank you so much, Janelle.
And people can check with my blog website, too, for my film, which is theothersideoftheglass.com, and I'll try to...
Oh, I love your film. I love your film, Janelle.
Thank you. So is Erica going to come back on?
Yes, she is.
Hello?
Hi. Hey, thank you.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're parked somewhere in the hot heat out in L.A. area on the phone trying to get your message out to whoever's listening out there that there's something tragic going on here and that you guys are in it and we need to support you. And I'm hoping that people will contact you, donate, join the fight. I mean, I hate to fight, but this is a fight. This is a fight for all children.
And yes, and if we could, you know, ask for everyone's prayers for my little ones. You know, they are going through so much, and it's not their fault. It has nothing to do with them. You know, and I just ask for everyone's prayers, and if anybody wants to write letters or, you know, help on our behalf, we would love it. We're on Facebook, I gave my phone number. So, and if anybody has a similar situation and they'd like to talk or have a meeting of the minds, I'd love for that as well.
And I was really excited to hear all of the offers that you've had from people all over the country willing to help you start over.
Just, you know, people that don't know us, you know, they don't know us personally, you know, and we've developed some wonderful friendships online and met some really beautiful people, and we're so thankful.
And you're a stay-at-home mom, and Jeffrey's is a computer programmer, web developer, right?
Yes, he's a graphic artist.
Yeah, so I wish you the best. We'll be in touch.
Thank you, Janelle. Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome, and I've got a special song here that I want to play for Jeff.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys will be able to hear it, but if you stay on, I think you will be.
We'll listen. Thank you, Janelle.
Thank you. So that's today's show, Thought Crime Radio, Voices for Human Rights of Babies. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really, really feel and think about what's going on in our culture in the name of help in these systems that have taken over and do not allow people to be responsible for their families, do not give us the freedoms to choose the most natural, the most logical, the most spiritual path. That's what Thought Crime is about. It's about busting open our numb thinking to show us how we are being controlled from the beginning of life with marketing and laws and political agendas that just unfold if we're not involved, if we don't take control. So join me in 2 weeks. Next week I won't be here. That's community. A community show is on the first Monday of the month. On the next week, I'll be here with Janice Barcelo. This is Janelle for Thought Crime Radio, and this is a special song for Jeffrey and all the fathers out there.
2, 3, 4. Beautiful.